Alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. 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 Can you worship the Lord for a moment? Alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia. Can you ask the Lord to begin to minister to us this morning in a special way? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Can you give him the highest praise, a praise that he is worthy of, because his name is Jesus and he is the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. Father, we take this moment out and we tell you that we love you, that we need you, oh God, that you are the God that strengthens, that comforts, that heals. You're the God, Lord God, that loves the broken, Lord. You are the only one that can save, the only one that can restore. You're the only one, Lord God, that brings life to what is dead, Lord. Father, we pray, oh Lord God, that you would begin to minister to us according to our needs this morning, Father. Father, we pray, Lord God, that you would be pleased with our worship and pleased with our hearts this morning, pleased with our disposition towards you this morning, oh God. We pray, oh Lord, today that you be glorified. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a hand clap? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. So nice to see each and every one of you here. We greet you all, and those who are home as well, or working, or in your cars. We pray that the Lord may bless you and keep you this morning. And we pray that you are enjoying worship as we here this morning are enjoying worship and enjoying the presence of the Lord. So thankful to God for all that he has done, all that he's doing, and all that he's going to do. This morning, the Lord put in my heart yesterday to talk about this theme. And we want to talk about the theme. On the theme, we have a blessed hope. We have a blessed hope. I'm going to invite you to open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And with the sense that we're going through so much today, the Lord just put in my heart to speak on this theme. We have a blessed hope. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. For your word is clear. It gives us hope and strength and direction in all seasons of our lives. Father, we pray that you would minister to us today through your word, that you would encourage us today through your word, Lord God. Your word is life, and it reaches the most profound parts of our inner soul, Lord, and brings life and encouragement and strength and comfort. So today, Lord, we reach towards your word, Lord, for all that we need in this season of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. As a church family today, we mourn together, we celebrate our faith, we celebrate life, we know that the Lord is with us, he leads and he helps us. And it's wonderful to know that the Bible gives direction for every need of life. Nothing gets past God. His plan for humanity is clear, and he has covered all things. Nothing slips through the cracks. He is a perfect architect. So an architect designs and puts things in place and puts things in order and puts the structure together and puts the other needs to whatever it is that he's creating. He fills the gaps, right? Well, God is the perfect architect. He is the perfect designer. He has placed all things in order and nothing slips through his fingers. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he writes these verses, and they're loaded verses. And today we just skim some of this thought here, but they're loaded verses. And if you continue to read all the way to verse 10, it's loaded, and it's encouraging to us who live this life to know that God cares for all aspects of who we are. From the beginning of time to eternity, God is invested in each and every one of us. And Paul writes to the church to remind them of this very thing. In fact, when you read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you see that the church was being persecuted, and some were even losing their lives for the sake of the gospel. And he writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despaired, persecuted, but knocked down, right? Not destroyed. He reminds them that though there is trial and hardship, it's not our end. It's not our end. And he reminds the church then, and he moves and transitions into chapter 5, letting the church know that he cares for the soul. Letting the church know. So he was telling them in chapter 4, we're going to go through some things, but chapter 5, he opens it up with that great verse that we read, verse 1. He says, for we know that if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, kind of saying, hey, if you've gone through some persecution and God forbid the tent that you live in is destroyed, he says, we have a building from God. He said that God, he's taking care of the next. It's not the end is what he's telling the church of Corinthians. Even if you were to lose your life for the sake of the gospel, he's telling them, don't let your heart be troubled because it's not the end. We have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. And he's reminding the church here that God is the perfect architect and nothing slips through his fingers. And the church says, as we read these verses the apostle has left for us, we're reminded of a few things. I'll mention two today. We're reminded of a few things. The first thing that we're reminded of is we're reminded that the soul, we're reminded, these verses remind us that our soul's current dwelling place is fragile. These verses remind us that our soul's current dwelling place is fragile. These verses remind us that this body that we live in today, it is fragile. It can be destroyed is what verse 1 tells us, right? It is fragile. It can be destroyed. The Apostle Paul is letting the church know, hey, we understand that you're living out your faith and living out your faith. We want to remind you that the body in which you live in is fragile and it can be destroyed. He reminds them that that God hasn't forgotten them even in that place. Jesus affirms this teaching in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Jesus affirms the same thought when he says, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Jesus is affirming that, and Paul affirms the teaching of Jesus, letting them know the body can be destroyed, but no one can touch the soul. Right? And the Bible continually reminds us that this body that we live in is fragile. The psalmist said, talking about God, he says, God remembers that we are just dust. So he deals with us knowing that we are fragile. God deals with us knowing that we're fragile. In fact, Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 20, all go to the same place. All come from dust. and all will return to dust, reminding us of how fragile. In Genesis chapter 2, in creation, we always go to the beginning, Genesis, where it all started, right? And there we remember how this body comes into life, and it is made from the dust of the ground, reminding us of how fragile it is. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul is talking about the body, and he calls the body a jar of clay. So when he's talking about the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit abides, he says, so you have this great treasure in a jar of clay, reminding us that a jar of clay is brittle, easily broken, reminding us of how fragile the body is. Not only does the Bible teach us that we are fragile, that our bodies are fragile, the Bible teaches us that we are living it. We know, we also, not only does the Bible teach us how fragile it is, the body is, but we also know how fragile the body is, right? If anyone recently has taken a fall, our dear sister Suma took a fall on Friday, and she is bruised. I said, Lord, we're reminded how fragile. We pray for you, Suma. If you're watching us today, we're praying for you for a quick recovery, right? Many of us have had those experiences, a bad fall. We're scraped and we're bruised. Some have experienced broken bones. Why? Because this body is fragile. We've experienced it ourselves. We've all experienced some type of sickness that reminds us of how fragile our bodies can be. And we know that in this body, death is inevitable. In fact, the author of Hebrews says, just as people are destined to die once and then face judgment. He says, we're destined to die, reminding us of how fragile the body is. From the moment that sin entered man, man was destined to die and to return to the dust in which he came. So no matter how much we may work out at the gym, no matter how well we eat, we may be able to help with longevity, but as the author of Hebrews says, we're all destined. If you understand the word destined, we're all destined to die once. In fact, last year I turned 50 years old, and I can tell you, physically, I am not the same man I was at 30. In my mind, I want to say, oh, I am. Give me the basketball. Or, you know, I've come to the reality. I think I better stick to golf, right, King? Because our bodies are fragile, and they slowly begin to waste away. Right? The body was not made to last forever. The Bible teaches us that our soul's current dwelling place will not be forever. The Bible teaches us that our soul's current dwelling place will not be forever. Somebody right now is saying, geez, this guy is supposed to encourage us. God was intentional in making our bodies fragile, because he's the perfect architect. And he was intentional in making our bodies fragile. I love that chapter 5, verse 1, the one that we started with says, now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose. In fact, the ESV will say, he who prepared us for this is God. In other words, God was intentional in making our bodies fragile. He was intentional in making our bodies fragile. Why? Our bodies being fragile is a part of the redemptive story. Our bodies being fragile is part of the redemptive story. Read verse 5 again. It said, now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. He has been intentional in making us fragile. He has put his Spirit within us as an inheritance, as a guarantee of what is to come. So don't let your heart be troubled. This fragile body is only a stepping stone into what God has prepared for his people. It is what is needed for the redemptive work of Christ. His spirit within us guarantees us for what is to come. And the church says. So as we read the words of the Apostle Paul, we are reminded that our bodies are fragile. And God was intentional in making them fragile. And God is the perfect architect. These verses, number two, our second point, these verses remind us that there is more for us. These verses remind us that there is more for us. His spirit guarantees what is to come, is what the Apostle Paul writes. The Apostle Paul is saying here that the spirit within us reminds us that there is more to come, that God has a plan with our souls. He was intentional in making our bodies fragile because he has a plan with our souls, right? Because of Christ's redemptive work, we will experience a new glorified dwelling place for our souls. Because of Christ's redemptive work, we will experience a new glorified dwelling place for our souls. Because of the redeeming work of Christ, our citizenship is in heaven. On that great day, we will find ourselves in the presence of our Savior. Our citizenship is in heaven. So one day we will find ourselves in the presence of our Savior. But we will not reflect the nature of this world. We will not find ourselves in the presence of our Savior in this body. We will not reflect the nature of this fallen world. No, we will reflect the nature of a glorious body. In the presence of our glorious Savior. It will be an eternal body for our eternal dwelling with our eternal Savior. There must be a transition then. From the fragile to the glorified. There must be a transition. It's God's architectural work. It is his plan for each and every one of us. Right now, we reflect the nature of this world. But because of our citizenship, which is in heaven, I love what the Apostle Paul writes. Hear these words well. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. So we, because of our citizenship, which is in heaven, we wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body so that we can have our eternal nature with him. When we find ourselves with our Savior, it will not be in these fragile bodies. No, no, no. It will be in our glorified body. Look at what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 49. He says, Just as we have been born the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man in heaven. He's saying, just as we have bared the image of the man of dust, that's where we are right now. It is a prophetic word for the church. We will also bear the image of the man in heaven, reminding us that there will be transformation, reminding us that from fragile to glorious, that will occur for the church. On earth, we have taken on the nature of this fallen world, but one day we will enjoy a transformed body that reflects the nature of a perfect heaven. One day we will have this experience. One day we will experience the glorious transformation from fragile to powerful, from fragile to glorious. God has prepared a new glorified body for each of us. For we know that if the, verse 1 again, for we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. If one day we find ourselves absent from this body, that does not mean that there is no place for our soul to rest. God has prepared a new glorified body for each of us. And the church says, if one day we find ourselves absent from this body, that does not mean that there's no place for our souls to rest. No. God has prepared a new glorified body for each of us. Because of Christ's redeeming work, we will experience a new glorified dwelling place for our soul. God has prepared a dwelling place for our souls that is greater than this body in which we find ourselves today. We don't understand how it all works, and we don't understand how it all going to look. That's been withheld from us. But one thing we know, that the glorious body is much better than the fragile body. I like how Paul just writes this for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42. Listen to these words. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead? That's talking about our resurrection. The body that was sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There'll be a transforming work, a glorious body for us that the Lord has prepared. This is the eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. When the Apostle Paul writes that, this is what he's talking about. It's something not built with human hands. No. It has not been conceived by man. No, this was built and planned by the perfect architect, and he is Jehovah God. And what is sown in weakness, when it's invested or put back into the dirt, when it is sown in weakness, it would be raised in power. When it is sown in the natural, it would be raised in the supernatural, in the glorious. So I will ask the question then, when will this happen? How will it all come about? When will it happen? Well, for those that have died in Christ, the day will come when they will be transformed. The day will come when there will be a transformation for them. For those who have died in Christ, there will be a day when they will experience transformation. This is what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 52. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. And here it's the reminder that the Apostle Paul gives us, that when the trumpet sounds, when the church is lifted up, a day will come when Jesus will come for the church. It is a prophetic word, and no word ever comes back empty that has come from the mouth of God. And there will be a day when the trumpet will sound and the church will be lifted up. But the dead in Christ, they're going to be there just a little bit before us. And they're going to be there in a transformed, glorious body. What was sown in the natural will be resurrected in the glorious. And they will get there just a second before us. They will get to see Jesus just a second before us. This year we have lost some dear Elohimers, our dear hermano Pedro, our hermano Asensio, our sister Madrid, our sister Benitez, our sister Pauline, our brother Joe Shane, and now our dear sister Nancy. And we have the hope that we will see them again, and they will get there a second before us, and they will be there in their glorified body. And the church says, so we live with the expectation that we will see them again, and next time we see them, they will not be found in a fragile body. No, they will be found in a glorious body, one that will care for their soul, one that will host their soul, one that is no longer identified as fragile or as weak. No, one that is glorified and strong. It is imperishable. It is spiritual. Yes, this glorified body cannot and will not subject itself to anything that has to do with the fallen world. In fact, The Apostle John in Revelation, he made this clear for us when he said this, talking about our experience in a glorified body. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. In other words, he's saying the fragile has passed away. And in the new and in the glorified, there's no more pain, there's no more crying, there's no more mourning, there's no more death. That glorified body does not subject itself to sickness, pain, hurt, COVID. It does not subject itself to death, to cancer. It does not subject itself to any of those things. And for that reason, there is no more pain. There is no more sorrow. There is no more crying. There is no more death because we have experienced a glorified body. And the church says, for those of us who are waiting on the Lord to come, if Jesus is to come while we're still living here on earth, if he is to come while we're still living on earth, so we know that the dead in Christ will rise first, but what if he was to come while we're still living on earth? Many of us have that hope and that expectation. Every generation after Jesus has thought that they were the last generation. And you talk to many of people of our generation, we have the same hope that we're the last generation. But the truth is, we don't know when Jesus will come. But what if he were to come during our time? For those of us who are waiting on Christ, who are still living on the day that the trumpet sounds, that Jesus comes for the church. The Bible teaches us that there must be a transformation. That flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That the fragile cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The weak cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So the Bible says, so in a twinkling of an eye, we will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. He's saying, we may not all sleep. We may not all be in the state of waiting. No. Well, we may not, but in a twinkling of an eye, there will be a transformation for those who are still alive at the sound of the trumpet. In a flash, in a second, in a twinkling of an eye, there will be a transformation. And you and I, those who are alive at the time when the trumpet sounds, we will also experience a new glorified body at that moment. And the church says, so as I bring closure to the teaching this morning, some points of application. We've heard the Apostle Paul, and we've done the best that we can to just kind of take you through the process of the fragile soul and the glorified body and those who are dead in Christ and us who await. We know that that God has, nothing has slipped through his fingers. He will care for our souls, and in his omniscience, he has been intentional in making us fragile so that we could also experience the supernatural and the glorified. So how should we live? Just four quick points of application for us today. The musicians can come up. So how should we live? First, this is the promise for the church. For that reason, we don't mourn like the rest who have no hope. We don't mourn like the world who has no hope. We are people with a blessed hope. Eternity awaits for all those who have found Christ. We don't mourn like the world mourns. We mourn with hope, with expectation, with joy. Happiness may be compromised, but joy is in the Lord. So we mourn with joy to know that one day the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ will be raised, and in a twinkling of an eye, we will also be transformed, and we will find ourselves celebrating with our Savior. And whatever your eschatology may be after that point, you go and believe it and wait on it. But for me, I say, at that point, It's all good. Whatever happens on the earth after that, ellos con Dios. We celebrate our salvation and we celebrate Jesus. So we mourn differently. We mourn with expectation and we mourn with joy. Also, I want to remind you today that we remember the words of the Apostle Paul. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Let's be careful how we live this world. Fix your eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. What is it God wants to show us? What is it that God wants to do with us? Remember, this world is not our last stop. This is not the end for us. This body is not the final destination of our souls. We will work hard and manage our time well. Live the best lives that we can. Serve God and His people the best way that we can. But we know that our citizenship is not of this world. It's in heaven. So we do the best that we can with what has been entrusted with us, knowing that the Holy Spirit will help us and lead us through every aspect of life. But, like Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. But I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will return for you to take you to be with me where I am. So our heart, our vision, our energy, and our strength is placed in the Lord. Remember, also, this should bring a great responsibility on the church. This is not for us to swallow up ourselves. But because of this message, because of this life that we live, we have a commitment to the Great Commission to share the gospel with the lost world. Because transformation doesn't happen just because you were made from the dust of this world. After Jesus tells his disciples that, do not let your heart be troubled, trust in God, trust also in me, Thomas says to Jesus and says, well, how will we know the way? How will we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one will get to the Father if not through me. So we, the church, have this responsibility to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because there will be, and Jesus says these words, there will be a resurrection for all people. And to those without Christ is a resurrection of condemnation. Lord, help us. And to those with Christ is a resurrection of eternity with Christ. But the Bible says for those without Christ, it is a resurrection of condemnation. At the end times, in the second resurrection, the Apostle John writes in Revelation and he says, their names were not written in the book of life. They have no advocate. They have no savior. No one to say, my blood washed away their sins. No one to say that for them because they never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal savior. And we cannot be like, well, that was their bad decision. No. The Apostle Paul reminds us, how will they hear if no one would preach to them? The Apostle Paul reminds us that Jesus uses us in the ministry of reconciliation. As we hear this, we are reminded that the Great Commissioning has been entrusted to us. Points of application as I finish. Let us use our time here on earth to bless and not condemn, to be peacemakers and not to promote discord. Let us use our time here to encourage and not discourage. Why? The Bible says our time on this earth is like a vapor. Now you see it and boom, then it's gone. This is fragile. It's fragile. It can be destroyed. And God has entrusted us. He has entrusted us this time. He has entrusted us this time. He has given us life and has entrusted us the years that we have on this earth. You see, eternity with Him is forever, and we're going to have that. But He has blessed you and blessed me and carved out a spot in eternity where we could enjoy earth, the natural, His creation. He has carved out in all eternity and given us a place in eternity where we can enjoy earth. Let us not waste it in discord. Let us not waste it in sins that destroy, in sins that divide, in sins that separate us from our Creator. No. We have a blessed hope. And we live this earth in a way that honors our hope, in a way that honors our blessed hope. And the church says, hallelujah. Can you give the Lord a hand clap today? Father, we thank you, Lord, for the teaching of your word. It is life for us, brings direction, leads us. Without it, we would be lost. Father, we thank you, Lord, for we have hope. We have joy in all circumstances. Thank you, Lord God, because you are the perfect architect. You have designed things perfectly. And although we live in this fragile body, it's only the first step into eternity, into our glorified life with you, O Lord. Help us to remember some of our points of application and how we should live during this season and time, knowing, Lord, that you have entrusted us this for this season, this time for the season of our lives, that we would live in such a way as to honor the blessed hope. We pray in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Perhaps you're here today and you're visiting us and you feel far from God, lost, and you feel like, I'm not right. I feel like if there were to have to be a resurrection for me, it may be to condemnation and not eternity. But Jesus is the answer. He's not looking for anybody perfect. He's not looking for anybody that knows it all and has it all under control. He's looking for someone who says, I give up, God. And I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. And if you're here today, I don't want you to leave the same way. I want to pray with you before we leave. And after the service, I want you to feel free to approach me and say, Pastor, can you pray with me? And we want to pray and help you in these next few steps of your life. God bless you and God keep you. Hallelujah.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.